are listening to the sermon podcast of Covenant Presbyterian Church. We are a community in Madison, Wisconsin, who gathers to worship, to learn, to serve, and to grow together in God's love. Please visit us online at www.covenantmadison.org, where you can find information about Covenant Ministries, as well as links to our online worship services and sermon podcasts.
If you could have dinner with any figure from history, who would it be and why? Maybe you've been asked this question as an icebreaker or a mixer at a social gathering. It's a fun way to reflect on things. And I think near the top of my list, if I had to answer this question, would be Jesus. Not just because I'm supposed to say that answer as a pastor and as a Christian, but because I think it would be really fascinating to share a meal with Jesus. We read in the Gospels about how he had meals with all sorts of people, rich and poor, old and young, the insiders and the outsiders, the religious people and the supposedly not religious people, the supposedly good and respectable and decent people and the supposedly unclean and indecent people. He welcomed them all and shared meals with them. And sometimes he said things that made people a little uncomfortable, kind of disrupting the etiquette of things, but always said with love. Listen for one account from Luke chapter 14.
When Jesus noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. And the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, give this person your place, and then in disgrace, you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, friend, move up higher. Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He said also to the one who had invited him, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return, and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous.
Jesus wanted to make a bigger table. He wanted to make a place for everybody, especially those who were too often forgotten or ignored. And he encouraged his followers to live with the same sort of bigger table mentality, to live with the spirit of generosity and welcome and inclusion. There's a wonderful saying, when you have more than you need, build a bigger table, not a higher fence. Variations of that are circulating on social media, encouraging us all to think about welcome and diversity and inclusion. Including is our word for the day here at Covenant. The word, the practice that we're highlighting in our series on Christian practices. Now, while we might be familiar with more traditional Christian practices like prayer and scripture reading and Sabbath and worship, this series is encouraging us to think about other things that we can do, other ways we can practice the Christian faith. Doing things like advocating, listening, mourning, celebrating, and including. Including, that's our word for the day. Our inspiration is a book by Pastor Kathy Escobar called Practicing, Changing Yourselves to Change the World. And it helps us to see the connection between our individual lives and our impact in the world. She invites us to look at ourselves, to work on ourselves, so that we can faithfully work on the world. There's a sort of implied invitation to have some integrity and some wholeness in our Christian faith, to focus on ourselves and to focus on the world. So including is our word for today. And in our fragmented and hurting world, we certainly need more including and more including skills. And we need to remember that including is more than simply saying, hey, the doors are open, come on in and be like us. Including involves a mutuality, a leveling, if you will, a give and take. And for some of us, it might involve some humbling. Including means getting outside of our own bubbles and going to other places and being with other people, listening, learning, and growing together. Including means recognizing historical and cultural imbalances and working together for the common good for a new future. We're trying to do a better job at including here at Covenant as we learn together about the inclusive love of Jesus, to make this a more inclusive kind of community and to equip people, to equip all of us to live our lives with a spirit of inclusion, just like Jesus had. I've been here for about 7.5 years, and before then, this church was working hard on issues of inclusion for lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people. In 2012, this church was the place where we endorsed and celebrated the ordination of the first openly gay person in the Presbyterian Church USA. We continue to work on these issues. We continue to try to be more inclusive in our community and within ourselves for the sake of the world around us. With racial issues, we have a long history of study and prayer and partnership and action with the hope of making God's love more inclusive for everyone. We continue to work on these issues that divide us. And in the next week, we're trying something new, a group called Racist Anonymous, for people to come together and share experiences, to learn new perspectives, and to grow together with the help of the 12-step process, to work on ourselves, to work on our own racism, with the hope of working on the world around us. Again, to be more inclusive like Jesus. And politically, in this admittedly liberal community of Madison, we're trying to cultivate an environment where people feel welcome and we're able to listen and learn from people of diverse perspectives, including diverse political perspectives. And we're trying to find common ground. I got a glimpse of this earlier this year. Some of you might remember we had a series on the issues that divide us. We talked about things like abortion and immigration and gun control and things like that. And during that series, several people in the congregation provided me with books and articles and web pages to help us all learn together. A few people made appointments. One member came in to see me, sat down in my office. They'd been a member here for decades. And they told me that they feel a little bit like an outlier here in Madison. Their political views are a little bit out on the one end of the spectrum. They even said that they might be considered to be a deplorable in some circles if their opinions were known. But this member felt comfortable coming to me and talking to me, and later as I reflected on it, I realized how wonderful that this person who's so far out on the political spectrum has felt welcomed and included here at Covenant for decades. So I think we're doing something right. As we wrestle with complicated issues, we don't sacrifice our principles, but at least we have a sense of including one another at the table so we can listen and learn and grow together. As a church, we're trying our best to follow the example of Jesus, loving our neighbors and being open to all with this sense of inclusion and love. We're trying to build a bigger table, as it were. And on this World Communion Sunday, when the table is set with all sorts of varieties of bread, reminding us of the diversity of the world, I give thanks for people all over the world, and in particular for our mission partners that we're connected with here at Covenant, the people who are doing great work around the world. We have a longstanding partnership in Guatemala, supporting education, healthcare, and leadership development. But we're not just the givers in this relationship. We're blessed by our partners with encouragement and prayers and faith development for us. Anyone who's gone to Guatemala and met with people has come back stronger and more faithful. God is at work in all of us in this partnership. We have a special connection with the Monte Hebron Presbyterian Church, and Pastor Floor sends her greetings to us and continues to pray for us and looks forward to the day when we can join together in worship. We also are in partnership with the Presbyterian Church in South Sudan through the work of mission co-worker Lisa Wagstaff, who's been working for years in this very troubled, impoverished, and war-torn country, helping with education and leadership development in the church. And we have a decades-long partnership with Eric Miller, who works with InterVarsity in Kenya, doing leadership development and working with church leaders there. I included info about both of them in our weekly email, the Connections email. We're also supporting mission work in Indonesia and Haiti. It's great to have the sense of community around the world. And finally, we have a partnership with Jed and Jenny Coble, who've been mission co-workers in Peru for many years. Last year, a group of 12 teens and adults from Covenant got to go to Peru. I was lucky to be part of that trip for an environmental justice experience. And I contacted Jed a couple weeks ago and asked if he might have a word for us today. Listen to what he has to share with us on this World Communion Sunday.
Hey friends at Covenant Presbyterian Church in Madison, Wisconsin. Greetings from Lima, Peru. A little over 6 months ago, the coronavirus made its way from Asia all the way across the Pacific Ocean here to our coast and has inundated us. Today, despite draconian measures taken very early on, strict lockdown measures, Peru has the highest fatality rate from COVID-19 in the entire world. But that has not left us hopeless by any stretch of the imagination. A little over a year ago, Pastor Charlie brought a group from your church down here to Peru, up to La Roya, high in the Andes Mountains, where we met Victoria Trujillo, better known as Mama Toya. An 83-year-old woman who has dedicated her life to planting trees and caring for her communal lands. And she shared a message with us early on in this pandemic, you know, helping us to see how we're going to get through it. And she said, one, you know, you got to toughen up. But more than that, this is the time to dedicate yourself to doing what is right, to doing good, and to deepening your faith in the God of love, in the God who cares and protects for all of creation. For her, that has meant continuing to plant trees. For each of us, that has meant finding new ways to care for our neighbor, to love one another. And on World Communion Sunday, this is what we celebrate. This is what we practice. This is the intention that we bring to our lives and to one another, to be the kingdom of God, not only right where we are, but the whole world over. If we as humans can spread a disease unintentionally around this world in 6 months to overcome populations in far stretches of the world, imagine what we can do when we set our intention to care for one another. We need one another now more than ever. So we are so grateful that you continue to support our ministry here as we try to do our part of sharing God's love for one another, and know that we continue to support you and through prayer and in any other way we can do that. We are so grateful for you. God bless you, and thank you.
I give thanks to God for our mission partners around the world. Please pray for them. And if you'd like to offer them a word of encouragement, we have their contact info in the church office. We'd be happy to share that with you. Together, we're doing our best to welcome the inclusive love of God and to share that with everyone around the world. And as I think about it, I believe including might just start with learning how to see, with really learning to see the other people in the world around us. John Pavlovitz has a wonderful story about learning to see in his book called A Bigger Table, Building Messy, Authentic, and Hopeful Spiritual Community. That book was the inspiration for the title of this sermon, and I recommend the book highly. As a youth pastor many years ago, he planned a big event that involved over 100 teenagers. There were fun and games and activities and some spiritual nourishment as well. As the event got started, he was greeting people and encouraging people to participate and get involved. He noticed two teenagers standing on the edge of things, not really engaged, not really involved. So he went over to talk with them. It turns out they were brother and sister, and they had been forced to go to this event by their parents as a punishment for some sort of infraction. And he talked with them a little bit. He tried to encourage them. He tried to, use some energy, some cheesy jokes, as he says, and they didn't really seem to respond to anything he said. So he said he was glad they were there, hoped they had a good time, and he moved on. Well, a few days later, he got an email from the sister, from a girl named Tracy. And she shared that she had had past difficulties, made some poor choices, and as a result of those choices and those situations, she'd been kind of ostracized by most of the other kids at school and even by people at church, even the pastors at church. She was grateful that John Pavlovitz took the time to come over and talk with her and to speak with her. And she wrote in this email to him, "I wanted to thank you. People usually don't notice me, or they pretend not to see me. You made me feel visible." Friends, this week I invite you to really open your eyes to the people around you. Regardless of their politics, regardless of their race, regardless of their sexuality, regardless of whatever, to really recognize them as beloved children of God. And try to include them however you can, and remember to let them include you, or let yourself be included by them. The good news of the gospel for us is that Jesus is the master includer. He came with love for everyone. He invited everyone to the table, to a bigger table of love and grace and welcome and fellowship. And his love gives us the strength to love others. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Ndikulupirira Mungu Atate wampamvu yonse olengeza kumwamba ndiza pansi.
Jesu Kristo, su único hijo, Señor nuestro.
Jenž se počal z Ducha Svatého, narodil se z Marie Panny.
Die geleden heeft onder Pontius Pilatus, is gekruisigd, gestorven en begraven, nedergedaald ter helle.
Την τρίτη μέρα αναστάντα από τον νεκρόν, ανελθώντας τους ουρανούς, καθεζομένον εν δεξιά Θεού Πατρός παντοδυνάμου.
Αφιάμνου γι' αφήνει τσάρων φίλε σύνμα.
Καπατζάω σε ουάγτζα νε προβενιάν μπορισούτ. Λέξε μάνε σάκον κρίτσακ μπορισούτ.
Ουμπισαρίκα τελ κουντίσιν. Ουμπιμαχφίρα τελ χωτόια.
A test feltámadását és az örök életet. Ámen.
During this time, we remember that the practice of giving, the practice of generosity, of time, of talent, of resources